Who is she going to choose? Okay, what's this lady's name?
Vanessa.
We're glad you're here today. You want to show people what you get? Well, hold it up high. Share it around. Okay. She has a whole wad of $100 bills. Of course, it's play money. So, Vanessa, if you had all of that money, what would you do with it? Wasn't that beautiful? I asked her what she would do with all those hundreds of dollars that was real money. She said she would give it to the people who need it. Thank you very much, Vanessa. I guess I can just sit down now. Thank you. Okay. We're talking about something more than money. Don't go to sleep because I am sharing with you one of my 10 best stories. Okay? This is one of my 10 best stories. But you have to sit and listen to the sermon for a little bit. I was looking at our Advent review, and there was a graph that showed the richest country in the world, and that's Switzerland. I didn't know that Australia was richer than the United States. Did you know that? Australia. But then it showed the richest countries in the world, those were the countries that were the least interested in religion. Well, that's interesting. And Nepal, they had as the poorest country in the world, had the most interest in religion. 95% of the people in Nepal are interested in religion. Now, we're not saying it's Christianity necessarily. It could be Hinduism or Buddhism or whatever, but they're interested in religion. And so that's what started this sermon. I said, could that be happening to us here in the United States? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Children of Israel for 40 years have been camping. Do you ever get tired of camping? In the desert, no water. Well, they had water, but sometimes they got thirsty, I'm sure, and was it enough to wash their clothes and take care of all of their cows? And after you water your cows, where do you do your wash? Some of these problems. Deuteronomy 6:10, God is warning them about the good times that's going to happen. It shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou hast not builded, and houses full of all good things, all of the furniture, all of the appliances. They may not have had microwaves, but they had the latest in wood-burning stoves. And the wells were already dug, the vineyards and olive trees were already planted. And when you have eaten and you have enjoyed all of these things, be careful, lest you forget the Lord which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. That's the typical response of human beings. They have had so much, and after a while, they just don't need God anymore. Mark, I had a little typographical mistake here, so you can change it if you want. Mark 10. There are not 20 verses in Mark, but it's Mark 10, 25 to 27. It's hard to be rich. Did you know that? You say you're not rich? Good. Besides, it ain't no sin to be poor. It's just terribly inconvenient. And the only advantage of having a little bit of money is it makes it more convenient for you. But be careful about being too rich. This is what Jesus says, Mark 10, 25 to 27. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. The eye of a needle was kind of a little device to let people through the wall without letting their camels and all of their luggage and all of their the soldiers, people with big shields. You could just squeeze through this. So he says it's easier for a camel to go through this eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Disciples are amazed because they're thinking in those days, if you're rich, God has blessed you. If you're poor, God has cursed you. And so the disciples' reaction is, who then can be saved? If it's hard for rich people to be saved, then who could be saved? Jesus comes along and he says, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Do I hear an amen? Why is it hard for rich people to be saved? That's the big question. Here's a story, Luke 9, verse 3. Jesus is sending out his disciples. They are going and preach about the coming kingdom. And his instructions are very, very strange. He says, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, that would be your staff, nor scrip, that means paper, neither bread, well, where are we going to eat, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. You're literally going with the robe on your back, and that's it. You don't have any money. Where are you going to eat? What are you going to do? Well, the whole point was, if you don't have any money, guess who you're depending on? On God. 1962. I was debating whether I should be a pastor. And I said, okay, Lord, if you want me to be a pastor, I am going to go, and I got a map, Saskatchewan, Northern Canada, right up there with the Eskimos. I'm going to go up there and sell books. And if you want me to be a pastor, you bless me. So my dad gave me his Standard Oil credit card, you know, Chevron gas, and his 58 Opel station wagon. And I had about $20 or $30, and I took off, went up there into Canada. And it was an incredible experience because it was just me and the Lord. I slept in my car. I never even thought about staying in a motel. I just pull over in a wheat field, and I had oatmeal for breakfast, and I had a little bit of canned pineapple. We stayed with an Adventist family during the weekend, but during the week we were on our own. And Ukrainian people, these people were Christians. They're not Seventh-day Adventists, they're Christians. And they would feed me lunch and supper, for sure. And they would buy my books, and oftentimes the ladies would use their cream money to buy the books with. It was an amazing experience. It's good to be poor because then you depend on God. And that's why the people in Nepal are so poor, are so rich in their dependence and their love for Jesus, because when you don't have anything except God, then it dawns on you, God's all you need. It's all you need. Well, what about money? Is money really bad? 1 Timothy 6:6. Is money really bad? What about people who have money? Are they bad people just because they have money? They can't help it. Maybe they inherit it. Who knows? Is it money that's bad? Let's turn to 1 Timothy 6, beginning with verse 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Have you ever noticed the advertising world? They're trying to make you discontented with what you have, so you'll buy more. And so you're never content. What's better than that? Contentment comes from godliness. Jesus gives us things we need. For we bought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. People today live like Tutankhamun. You can go see his tomb over there in Cairo. And his philosophy was, you can take it all with you. And literally he had a fortune buried with him in his tomb. And he had golden chariots, and he had fishing poles, and he had all kinds of clothes. He had all kinds of wealth and diamonds and jewels, because the idea of the Egyptian is, you can take it with you. And people today are accumulating all of this stuff, and you don't see any U-Haul trailers going behind hearses, because you can't take it with you. It's impossible to take it with you. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. 1969 in Nepal, I would go and visit these people in the hills of Nepal, dirt poor. They live in a little mud hut and they have a cow dung floor. Cow dung floor isn't bad because they mix the cow dung with mud and it keeps the flies away. It's okay. Don't feel bad for them. And they had a little place where they cooked their food. They had pots and pans and they had a little place to sleep. That was it. And guess what? They were happy. You go into the capital and there they have television. I got to have a television. I have to have a radio. I have to have a VCR. I have to have this. I have to have that. All you need is food and clothing, maybe a shelter over your head. For they which are rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For it's the love of money, that's the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Covetousness. I got to have this. I've got to have that. And now are you ready for the story? The greatest treasure. Little boy, 10 years of age. No mother, no father, no relatives at all. He's completely alone in the world. How does he live? He begs. He's in a big city, and he goes around to people, and he says, would you give me some food? Would you give me some money? And they're giving him money, but he gets about so much money, just enough to buy a meal for him to go to sleep. You know, developing countries, you only eat one meal a day. It's the last meal, just before you go to bed. That's when you eat your meal. So that's what this little boy was doing. He'd beg all day long, and he would grab a few coins, and he'd go to the store, and he'd buy his food, and he ate, and he'd find a little shelter with a cardboard box, and that's how he lived, day after day. One day, he came to a very wealthy businessman. Sab, Boglacha, Dinusta. And he gave him a $10 bill. Wow. He has a problem. He can't eat that much. So he takes this money and he gets an idea. He's going to take the day off. He's going to buy enough food so that he doesn't have to beg the next day, and he's going to make himself a picnic lunch, and he's going to go out in the country and just enjoy nature. And that's what he does. He puts his lunch, his picnic lunch, in a little basket, and there he is. He's trudging out. He gets way out of the city, and he's in the country, and he sees a hill, and he's climbing up the hill, and he eats his lunch, and he's looking. It's a wonderful day. No more begging. He doesn't, you know, it's a wonderful thing. He eats his food. He's a 10-year-old boy. What is he going to do the rest of the day? Explore. He's poking around on this hill, and he finds a cave. And this cave is a very narrow opening, but he gets down, and he somehow squirms into the mouth of this cave, and it's dark. And there's cobwebs and spiders and everything. And he's making his way through this cave. And all of a sudden, he can stand up. Ah, that feels a lot better. Still dark. But he sees a little glimmer of light. And he's walking toward the light. He turns a corner. And there in front of him, takes his breath away, a huge mound of treasure. Gold coins sparkling in the light, rubies and diamonds and sapphires. And the boy just stands there with his mouth open, and the wheels are going around. How is he going to take all of this out of the cave? You know, he didn't even have any bags to carry it in. But he dives in there, and he's putting all of these gold coins in his pockets, and he's imagining what he can buy. Well, he's going to buy a pony, and he's going to buy a little wagon, and he's going to buy a house with a swimming pool, and he has all of these things he's going to use his money on, and it's so exciting. And as he has his his pockets all filled up with gold coins, and he's about ready to leave and go out of the cave, he hears a voice. Huh, I didn't think there was anybody here. Sonny, have you chosen the greatest treasure? Who is this? There's a little old man standing right there by this mound of treasure. Have I actually got the greatest treasure? Of course not. Gold coins? I need precious stones. He knew about rubies and sapphires, and so he dumps all of the gold coins out. He throws them back on the pile, and now he's digging around in this pile, and he's finding rubies and sapphires. And there's some beauties. He stuffs them in his pocket. He's all excited. He's going to change these things, and he's going to be so rich, he can hardly imagine what he's going to do with all this money. And again, he's about ready to go outside of the cave. Sonny, are you sure you have the greatest treasure? Why does he keep saying that? So he dumps all of the rubies and all of the sapphires into the pile, and he remembers diamonds. Diamonds are the greatest treasure. And he sees some beauties. There's huge diamonds in here. And so he is pawing through this. Takes him a while, but he fills all of his pockets full of diamonds. Now he is really rich. And he's about ready to go out. And again, the little old man says, Sonny, are you sure you have the greatest treasure? Yes, I'm sure there's nothing more valuable than diamonds. And with that, he turns on his heel and he works his way out of the cave. And he is so excited, he has his pockets full of these humongous diamonds. And he is going to be so rich, he'll buy the town, he'll buy all of the stores. And he's kind of curious, and he wants to take one more look at the biggest diamond he has. And so he takes it out of his pocket, and he holds it up in the sunlight. Not a diamond at all. It's just a wad of leaves. There's nothing in his pockets except leaves. And then he catches on. What was the greatest treasure in the cave? Come on, folks. You were there with him. The greatest treasure in the cave was... No, God wasn't there. The gold? No. The light? No. This is very material. He could see. The greatest treasure in the cave was... You forgot this story. I told it to you 6 years ago. I'm so glad you forgot it. It gives me courage. I could tell you more of my old stories. When a preacher runs out of stories, he's got to move on. Come on, folks. The greatest treasure, think of it, the greatest treasure for this little boy, he had no one in the world. The greatest treasure was, the little old man was the greatest treasure. So, don't forget this. The greatest treasure on earth is not money. It's not things that money can buy. It's people. It's people. All right, are you ready? Now that you know the greatest treasure isn't things, things can't love. People can love. You want something that loves you. Okay, now you're ready for the best investment. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 6, 9 through 21. 19 to 21. Thank you, Abigail, for reading this for us. Matthew 6. Now, this is a difficult passage to understand. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. You see, if you're zeroed in on things like this little boy was, the diamonds have a tendency to turn into leaves. They just go away. Verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The greatest treasure that we have are people. The best investment we have in this church has been sitting up here in front of you. And you know, I didn't even know that this was going to happen this morning. Children. Children are our best investment. When I was in India, we would give 100 rupees, 10 bucks, to support various students through school. Now these students have grown up and they're important workers in the church. A few months ago, Linda and I were watching Better Life Television, and she saw Asian Aid. We saw these little kids, no mom, no dad. And Linda said, why don't we sponsor some of them? And so we did. We are sponsoring Lakshmi and Sarasati, 4 years old and 6 years of age. Their father died. Their mother wanted to remarry, so she just ditched her kids, left them with her neighbor. They were on the Nepal-Tibetan border. And so we're sponsoring them. They're beautiful girls. What would have happened to them if we hadn't sponsored them? They probably would have been involved in sex trafficking. You know, with our money, we have a tremendous potential. This is what the Bible talks about, talents. Talents has to do with time. It also has to do with money. And everyone has time and money. And either you can spend it on yourself or you can spend it on other people, and you can invest it in children. We're glad that we have children here today, and we need to remember that they are the greatest investment that we have. This church is an investment. Church budget needs help. This is a place where we can invite children to come. This is a place where we can have Sabbath school, and I appreciate what the Sabbath school leaders are doing. This is the church that needs. If you don't have money, you have time, and there's a list of needs that this church desperately needs. This is a church that has a radio station that beams out. This is the smartest investment that you could ever make, would be to invest in the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. May each one of us forget about the glitter and the stuff that the world has for us. It can't love you. People can love you. People are more important and more precious than things. And the best investment that you can make is in the kingdom of heaven, telling somebody about Jesus. Because when they have Jesus, they have everything. There's people all over the world that are longing to know about Jesus. We have an opportunity to tell them about it. And that just brings us into our closing hymn. Far and near, the fields are teeming. There are people all over the world. And you know, Jesus is working. You would be surprised. Gospel outreach, we have Muslims who are becoming Christians. They're not leaving the Muslim faith. They're secretly being baptized. The message is going out throughout the world that we don't even know about. We're here in the United States. We're just kind of sitting back and asleep. But they need us. They need our prayers. They need our money. They need our investment and time because they too need to know about Jesus. So let's turn to hymn number 358.